Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 3, Yankees, Guardians tonight in Cleveland. Game 4, Mets and Dodgers tonight at Citi Field. It's as big of a must-win as you can have without it actually being a must-win for the Mets. Going down 3-1 would be a killer. So it's up to Jose Quintana and especially this lineup to wake up and answer the bell like they did in Game 2. After getting smacked around in Game 1, you got smacked around again. But it really doesn't matter. And it won't matter how bad the loss was if you come back and you win today. So this is our house. Remember those old commercials?
Oh, yeah. Those Under Armour commercials.
Under Armour commercials.
Yes. Sure.
This is our house. So you got to defend it and hopefully get two wins before you have to go back to Los Angeles, which was guaranteed last night, of course. So Yankees, I fully expect a sweep. I really do. I mean, if it goes five. But as I mentioned, they should be spray painting the field for the World Series. They should be putting the bunting up. They should be doing whatever they need to do. Now, because there's just no point. They will not play another game at Yankee Stadium in the ALCS. The next time you'll see that will be, game. I guess they'll have home field against everybody, or the Dodgers have home field against everybody.
Dodgers, right? Dodgers had the most wins.
All right, so yeah, because the Yankees only had what, 94. So I guess Game 3 of the World Series. Just get ready for that, because it's just you're not if you got Game 6 tickets to the ALCS. You know you're getting that money back. You can count on getting that money back. You know, you take your wife out to dinner or something nice, and you're good. Or maybe you save it for the World Series ticket. You're going to be fine. But that's how that series just seems over.
It feels that way. It certainly does. And I have to say that in the two games that the Mets lost to the Dodgers, it feels like, you feel miserable. You feel terrible. You feel like you got to do something. And all you got to do is wake up the next day, show up to the ballpark, and be a better player than you were the day before. You don't have to be a hero. Nobody has to be a hero. Just play the game the way the game, is supposed to be played, meaning let it come to you. Don't force issues. Don't be overly nervous. And that's the thing about Severino last night that was a little shocking to me. He's pitched in big games before. And I thought, a little bit overzealous, nervous. I thought the first inning was great, but, maybe he was trying to overthrow the pitches a few times. You walk the middle of the order. You can't field your position. Your 22-year-old catcher gets up and tries to, become Johnny Bench in front of our eyes. I mean, all of those things that kind of led into that bad inning and the bad feelings. And then, of course, the Mets could not come through when they needed to come through, when they actually had men on base. And they let Walker Buehler off the hook. But I will say this. He made some really good pitches.
He did.
He made some really good pitches, and I thought the one curveball that he threw to Lindor was on it, and that thing just tumbled below his bat.
Yeah, I mean, it was nasty, and he definitely, it was inside, low, swung over the top of it multiple times.
Other guys get paid too,
Yeah, I've heard
those guys on the Dodgers get paid a lot of money.
They get paid a lot of money, and they also have families.
And and you got to give them credit in the sense that, let's face it, are there any really top-end pitchers in this, top-end starting pitchers in this particular series?
Well, Yamamoto's supposed to be.
Yeah, but, he got hurt this year.
Flaherty's a top-end pitcher.
Manaea has been a top end pitcher this whole year.
All right. Well, I mean,
those two guys for sure.
But there's not the Gerrit Cole, the Verlander, the Strasburg, the Harvey, you know, those types of guys where you said, okay, these guys are going to be the next Tom Seaver, if you will.
Look at Quintana, last eight starts there on CBS Sports Network. Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. He's got his whip on the one. He's got that ERA 0.57.
Okay.
Whip on the one. What are you okaying about?
I'm hoping that this is what we're going to see tonight.
All right. You give me like an okay, like they shouldn't put up those stats thing.
No, like, I'm not giving you that. I didn't want them to put up the stats, and I told them not to put up the stats because I knew that the stats would get you back into that mode of yours again.
What mode? No, it's a good mode.
I mean,
I feel good about that.
Maybe Steven and his crew aren't paying attention to the person that I'm sitting next to.
No. That helped. That helped. Didn't hurt.
That helps. Okay.
That helped. Didn't hurt. I'm excited.
I don't want to spend the next two breaks or three breaks talking about reverse splits today.
I didn't come up with that. Mendoza said it in the post game.
Yeah, but then you latched onto it.
Because I want to see Winker. I want to see Jesse Winker in the lineup. That's why.
You want Winker.
I want the Winker energy. That's what I want. Kevin in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Kevin?
We're talking about the energy, and I'm with you, G. I want to see Winker in there also. But the energy in the stadium has been tremendous. I was there for the clincher against the Phillies. It was the loudest I've heard that building in any time I can remember. But I'm talking right now to the people behind home plate. Get up. Get involved. Two strike counts. When we got guys on base, get up. Wave the towel. Terrible look on TV.
Yeah,
when they're
it's hard. It's hard to do when you're stuffing your face with food and you get your face in your phone and you're not paying attention to what's going on. And most of those people are probably guests of other people.
Yeah, I mean,
they could even be Dodger fans for all we know.
Nah, I saw mostly Met fans there. You know what I thought like yesterday, and I don't know why I've never thought of this before. How come in like these big games, you don't have the fans that sit that close behind home plate doing what the people behind the basket at basketball games do during free throws? Like, we should go, like...
Well, we did that. We did that once. Me and Carton did that once.
Yeah, but the whole game?
And he wore a mask, and he was texting with Jeff Francoeur, who was in the Texas Ranger dugout.
But I'm talking the entire section. The entire section. Like, with the thunder sticks and the vuvuzelas.
Just what I want to do is sit there with the vuvuzela.
Yeah, but it's not for us. It's for like the younger people that, you know, I don't know, they can get mommy and daddy's tickets and get down there and do it.
Right, okay.
A guy gets on the ropes and you get the vuvuzela in that face.
Right.
Think he's going to want to, you know what, bring back the vuvuzela for Yamamoto. It'll drive him nuts tonight. Get that. Man, that would be.
That would be crazy, man.
That would be. You know what? I'm getting back. I'm getting back. I just had a vision. If you saw me just staring into space, I was having a vision.
Okay.
Of Yamamoto coming off the mound in like the second or third inning, and the crowd just pumping vuvuzelas into his face and pointing at him. Ah, you loser! You should have come here. You lose us this leverage. You ain't daring to come to town. Sports.
It is. Oh.
Let's see here. Joe in Minnesota. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Boomer Jerry was right about the dry eyes. I have to wear lubricating eye drops. And Jerry's poor Cowboys, man, they suck.
Who sucks? And
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Oh, the Cowboys. I thought you said the Tall Boys.
You know, Gio, yeah. I'm a huge Twins fan, and would you rather be rooting for them right now, or would you rather be rooting for the Mets?
Of course, I'd rather be rooting for the Mets, but I mean, you could use that in any sort of
context with anything.
Yeah, it's whataboutism. We don't like to do that around here, Joe. Hey, Joe, when does ice fishing start?
Won't be too long. I mean, right now it's in the 40s, but it's been getting down in the 30s at night.
What lake do you live near?
Oh, I live about 20 minutes from Lake Superior.
Oh, that's a big lake.
What was the lake that the Vikings had all the hookers in the boat and that whole thing?
That was Mille Lacs Lake.
Minnetonka?
Yeah. Wait. What did it say? Say that again, Joe.
Lake. Hey, there was hookers there in the winter.
Yeah. Was it Minnetonka?
Ice fishermen. At one time they got caught, they got busted. Yeah, they got busted.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about McNeil playing for Iglesias? I know McNeil plays a lot for himself and can bring the team down, but...
Did you ask Al that question?
No, I'm asking you, Gio.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, hey, Al. Yeah, I remember. I don't want to play Jeff McNeil, Joe, and thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I don't want to see Jeff McNeil starting. I know Iglesias has had his issues in the postseason, and he's swinging the pitches. He's not the same guy right now, but I'm not going to Jeff McNeil. Absolutely not. The changes I would make would be Winker for Martinez, and I would sit Francisco Alvarez and put Torrens in there. That's what I would do, but I know he's not going to do it, so fine. Let's go roll him out there, and let's see where it goes.
Hey, man, and Carlos, we trust, man, and Carlos, we trust. Let's go to Mike in Franklin Lakes. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer and Gio. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, Boomer, I had something that you said earlier about Aaron Rodgers throwing Mike Williams under the bus. I mean, I feel like he was just holding him accountable, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, I know you said it too, he has taken the blame for bad throws, and but when somebody runs the wrong route,
Mike, how old are you, Mike?
I'm 37.
All right. Listen, let me just tell you something. A locker room is a very, very fragile place. And when things are not going well and people start pointing fingers at each other publicly, you know, things can come back to haunt you and can come apart pretty quickly. And this is what Troy Aikman was talking about Sunday night after the game, that this whole thing can unravel. Listen, this is not Green Bay where Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and now Jordan Love are going to become Hall of Fame quarterbacks. This is the Jets. He's played 6 games for them after being here for a year after he got hurt. He hasn't really accomplished anything for the Jets other than bringing attention towards the Jets because of his popularity and because of his great play before he got here.
Yeah. What age would that caller have said that would have made you call him son?
Well, I mean, he could have been my son. I mean, Gunner's 33.
If he was like 27, would you have been like, listen, son?
No, I wouldn't have said that. I don't know if he's ever been in a locker room or not. I don't know if he understands the fragility of the locker room and the dynamics of a locker room. And you don't want to be a leader. Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers has been a leader. And I lauded him last year during the Hard Knocks training camp edition.
Yeah, I see the way you asked how old are you, I was like waiting for all right, listen up, you Gen Z.
He sounded younger to me than that.
Gen Z wuss bag. This is the way we do things. I was waiting.
Yeah, and Aaron may be a great guy, may be a great teammate and everything, but these are probably some of the things that they saw in Green Bay that they were like, we got to get enough of this already.
Well, he wasn't doing it publicly because I don't remember anybody ever trouncing a guy that badly publicly after a loss. By the way, just one thing I meant to say about during the whole Love Boat thing in Minnesota. Remember Fred Smoot got off that boat and his quote was, they can't touch us. We were in international waters.
Oh, yes.
Woo! My team, baby. That was my team back then.
Fred Smoot, man.
Oh, boy. Mark in West Virginia. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Going to call and put you guys in a bit of a time machine. I want you to go back to Pittsburgh, October of 1960, Yankees and the Pirates in the World Series.
Bill Mazeroski? Is that where we're going, Bill Mazeroski?
No. Oh. Do you know what the three score? The Yankees won three games that series. Do you know what the scores were?
No.
Probably shut out the Pirates in every game.
10-0, 12-0, and 16-3.
Yeah.
And yet the Pirates won the World Series on a home run by Maz in the ninth inning of Game 7. So don't get worried. They got blown out two games. It's a long series.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the positivity, Mark. I'm sure you could find many other examples of teams getting shut out and their asses kicked that don't win the series. But, yeah. And
remember
that was,
when the Red Sox came down 3-0? Came back from being down 3-0?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Remember that, yes.
Oh, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually... Netflix documentary coming out about that any day now.
And you love a good documentary.
I do.
I remember.
A 30 for 30.
What do you remember, Eddie?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was driving down the turnpike when the Grand Slam, Damon hit the Grand Slam, yeah. the second inning. Oh, it was so great.
I was there. I was there both games. I was game 6 and game 7.
Oh, so you really remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the bloody sock and the whole thing. And we were out in the outfield near the Red Sox bullpen, and I remember my Yankee fan friends were like, "We got to go over and scream at Schilling," and they were over the railing, "You piece of," you know, the whole thing. And then the security guard was like, "All right," like he let it go for like 5 minutes, and he was like, "All right, enough. You know, now we need to chill.
Let's grow up, boys.
Let's grow up. Yeah. Enough." Yeah, that was so wild, man. I
remember that.
I do remember that. Yeah, 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 that was. Yeah, want to talk about
it's important
energy.
To remember that, those things.
Remember that.
It's not over.
It's not over. Yeah, 1960, Bill Mazeroski, Pirates championship. I tried to get Manny Sanguian on, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I reached out to someone who might be able to help. It's not working out.
I mean, like, what would you ask Manny Sanguian?
Nothing. It'd just be funny if he popped on the air. It's like, hey, Manny, we were talking about you. I don't know. I don't know what I'd ask him. He's a happy guy. He's 80. You give us some good vibes, and that would be that. And okay. We'd send him on his way.
I mean, you'd have to ask him. Yeah, I'm assuming he's watching the games. You'd have to say, what would you say to Francisco Alvarez if you could talk to him?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd just say, hey, Manny. And he'd say, hey, guys. And I'd say, all right, that'd be the end of it. Be like, look at that. Manny Sanguian, still alive. Like, I wanted to do a Boomer check-in thing, but you were hesitant to do that. Like, every week, do like a Boomer check-in.
A Boomer check-in.
Like people you haven't talked to in a while to make sure they're doing okay.
Okay.
You know, and then just like, hey. Like Dan Dierdorf was the one that started this
yes,
whole thing.
Yes, I know.
Like check in on Dan. You know, some people that are a little bit older you haven't seen that you're like, you know, let me talk to this guy before he dies.
The check-in series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The check-in
okay.
series with the Boomer Science.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just a quick check-in.
Yeah, but that's going to have like a... It's going to be sad sometimes because you're going to try to reach out and that person will have passed.
What do you mean? We would know if they're dead or not.
Well, if you haven't reached out to them for a while.
No, no, no. It's all famous people, like people in his career and stuff. People we know. He would know they're his friends. You know, he would know if his friends have died or not.
Yeah, like you could check in with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, a little check-in. See how he's doing.
Pete, how you? I'm assuming Pete's probably surfing right now.
Yeah, been a long time, Pete. What are you doing? Just checking in. It's
yeah.
me, Boomer. A little check-in series. Brought to you by Boomer at some hotel group, right? Hotels.com.
Yes.
Boomer check-in series.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is back. He's got another update. He's got moment of the day. What's up, Jerry?
Morning brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're talking NLDS as the Dodgers clobbered the Mets last night.
The 0-1 hit deep to right field. This ball's going a long way. Only question is fair or foul. And it is a fair ball, 3-run homer deep into the Coca-Cola corner in right field. right down the line.
For one Shohei Ohtani. That was Howie Rose, Mets Odyssey.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Howie Rose. Dodgers win 8-0. Max Muncy adds a ninth inning home run as well. Kike Hernandez, a two-run shot in the sixth off Reed Garrett. A wacky second inning where L.A. scored a couple of runs, and all that be that, the way that goes. Post-game sound, first from Kike Hernandez talking about his postseason. So he's batting .333 this year, .280 for his career, and if you take away his numbers from his first couple of runs in the postseason, it's even better than that. This was Hernandez on FS1.
It just brings out the best in me. I don't know if it's the Latino blood. I don't know what it is, man, but... I put myself in a position since I was a little kid thinking that I was playing October baseball when the games were important for me as a kid.
Have you noticed how much we're saying that this, I feel like this offseason more than any other with all these big home runs. I've dreamt of it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Severino and Alvarez did not help themselves out in that second inning. Severino had a couple of misplays, if you will. Did get one out on one, and one went off his glove. And then you had the throw by Alvarez that really hurt as well. This was Mendoza.
Maybe trying to do a little too much there. And then, obviously, Sevy couldn't make that play on that comebacker, potential double play. We only get one out. When you're giving a team like this extra outs, extra bases, they're going to make you pay.
And they did make them pay over and over and over again. Here was Severino himself, knowing he was poor in that category.
I was not good, you know? I should have caught those. I mean, one, it should have been an easy double play. Another one, should have stopped the guy going to home plate. But, you know, make a couple mistakes there.
And we mentioned the two runs by the Dodgers. The Mets had every opportunity in the bottom of the second to score at least a run. You had Alvarez up with the bases loaded, one out. He struck out, looked at strike two, and looked at strike three. And then Francisco Lindor struck out. He says, yeah, we need to bounce back here in game four.
Stay the course. Stay the course. Continue to compete. Come back tomorrow and give everything you have. You know, they're a really good team. They're a really good pitching staff and good hitters. And you have to give them everything you have. Otherwise, you're not going to win.
And a lot of conversation with the Mets lineup. Will there be any changes? Here was Mendoza.
Well, we're facing Yamamoto, as far as I know, right? I think they announced it. And when you look at his numbers, his split, it is pretty much reversed. He's been a lot better against lefties. So I would anticipate our righties to be in the lineup tomorrow.
So a lot of, I think, what we saw last night, we shall see. Opposing Yamamoto will be Jose Quintana. Game four, 8:08 tonight on Mets Odyssey Radio at Citi Field. And Cleveland Yankees and Guardians will be right here on The Fan. They will resume their ALCS. The Yankees, of course, taking Yankee Stadium a 2-0 series lead. Clark Schmidt, the start. Here he is talking about this upcoming game and knows we have not won anything yet.
We still got a job to do. We know that we're going on the road in a tough environment. So it's business as usual, I would think, in this locker room. And we know that these next two games are pivotal games, and we're trying to get the job done as quick as we as possibly can.
Opposing Schmidt tonight will be Matthew Boyd. First pitch on The Fan at 5:08. With John and Susan. All right, we get to the NFL. I got a lot of good stuff for you, I do think. First, I want to give you, I mentioned last hour, the Russo stuff on First Take. So here he was. It's a little long to set it up, but he's talking about Tony Romo, as we will get, as he was watching the Ravens and Commanders, which he'll tell you. And I just want you to listen to a couple of the details in it.
I'm watching the Ravens and the Commanders on Sunday afternoon.
Big game.
And he's making $20 million a year. Could at least Tony Romo have a little sense of history when he's doing a ball game on CBS? During the game, Harbaugh must have took him out to dinner on Friday night. During the game, he says, I swear to God, I couldn't believe it, that John Harbaugh is one of the top 10 coaches, without a doubt, in the history of pro football.
Oh.
What?
All right, so then in Russo fashion,
John Harbaugh and his brother Jim Harbaugh and the Harbaughs.
So
there was no R in that at all.
He then goes on to list numerous coaches, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And he also saw, you know, Tony Romo's making $20 million a year.
17.
So he said 17. I'm sorry. So here.
Oh, he's getting
17.
What's that?
He said 20, but it's 17.
Right.
He's getting $17 million a year at Northern Illinois. Did he read a football book?
So he's got the salaries wrong, and he's got Romo at Northern Illinois, not Eastern Illinois, as he's killing Harbaugh for being inaccurate with his opinion. Right. Or not Harbaugh, Romo, for his opinion. So only as Chris can do.
Right, that's classic him.
Pretty much.
Why don't you just go back to the 49ers, Tony, huh? Where you played for all those years.
Huh? All right, Giants-Eagles on Sunday. Here's Brian Daboll. What do you do without Andrew Thomas?
Evan's taken, I'd say, the majority of right tackle snaps in case something happened to Jermaine. Azudu has taken left tackle snaps, but then, you know, once this happens, you have discussions about how you want to approach it. We'll do a few things here this week, and then ultimately, you know, after Friday's practice, we'll make our decision on how we're going to go with that.
And the good news, it looks like Malik Nabers will be fine, or at least back on the field after dealing with the concussion and concussion protocol.
On that field on Sunday.
There will be. Absolutely, yes. There will be. Here's Saquon Barkley. There's going to be a lot with him returning to MetLife Stadium. You have anything to prove? He says, no, just win the damn game.
At the end of the day, the most important thing is winning. Whether I go and have 300 yards or if I have 10 yards, as long as we win, you know, I don't have that big of a pride or ego.
Okay, well, we shall see on Sunday. And then Sunday night, you got the Jets in Pittsburgh. The storyline here, obviously, is Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers. Here is Rodgers talking about Adams, says he looks great.
Looks like he's drinking the elixir from the fountain of youth. As I watched some of his clips, we went back and watched some old 2014 stuff when he was a rookie.
And then Adams himself, as you can imagine, excited to be with Aaron and the Jets.
It's a good deal. It's definitely good to be around him and be around the guys. And a lot of familiar faces in here, a few former Packers, former Raiders too, so it's good.
Yeah, all the familiar faces here that Aaron brought in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Pretty much. Kind of the way it goes. Speaking of Vegas and the Raiders, this was the sound I was talking about earlier when Tom Brady, who is now a minority owner of the Raiders, entered the facility. And just keep in mind that you've got people all over the place on every floor and every... It looked like a shopping mall of people just looking in as he walked in.
I do. I just want to take them home with me.
Commitment to excellence.
Right. I can't hear that song without thinking about John Facenda.
Yeah, yes.
And just saying
the
something.
The autumn wind is a pirate.
Man. Yep. Here was Antonio Pierce. He was asked about beating Brady in the Super Bowl now that he's going to be around.
You know, Tom's in the building now. Antonio, you had a chance yet to show him the ring or remind him of that game?
No comment.
Now he's kind of his boss now as a partial owner. Bills Titans Sunday. Amari Cooper, now a member of Buffalo. So what was that drive like for you going from Cleveland to Buffalo the other day?
I don't know. It kind of felt like a long drive to my first day of school, kind of. So, yeah, it was a lot to think about.
He sounds refreshed and excited to get started with his new team. And, of course, Josh Allen, and it should be an absolute blast. And then one other, I mentioned Harbaugh with the whole Chris Russo thing. So remember we were talking about how Jim Harbaugh had to leave the sideline because his heart was beating 250 to 300 times a minute, and I forget what the exact term was. But he did have it checked out.
Just talked to the cardiologist before I came in here. Got some test results back. The heart of an athlete is a direct quote from my cardiologist. So that made me feel good.
I would say so. That's not too bad. How old is he now?
He's got to be 61 or 62, I think, or 60.
Just Google it.
Come on, I'll Google that.
Could do that. And then game three.
60.
60. In what is the biggest shot in New York basketball history?
Yes.
Game three of the WNBA Finals. So just set the scene. The game was just tied by Minnesota at 77. There's not a lot of time left. New York calls a timeout, and they set up this.
8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of game three. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave. And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history.
Yeah.
80-77 New York.
And that was Ryan Rupp.
What a really well set up play.
Sabrina Ionescu.
This was also the most devastating thing to happen to Minnesota sports since Kirby Puckett died. So it's just really, it was a huge.
I thought it'd be the Matt Barr missed field goal.
Gary Anderson?
Gary Anderson, yeah. Same guy.
Hmm. Here was Ionescu, not stunned that she hit that long three.
I've practiced that shot a thousand times in my head, on the court. And, you know, I feel like that's just something that as athletes, you put yourself in that position to want to be able to make a shot.
And ironically enough, she didn't have a great game scoring wise. Only had 13 points with that three. It was Breonna Stewart that had 30 to lead the way. So they're up 2-1 and very close to winning the WNBA championship. NHL tonight, the Rangers in Detroit against the Red Wings. The Islanders visit St. Louis. You've got the Devils taking on Ottawa. All right, time now for what we call Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Yeah! I could have gone to the commercial that we do every day.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious, but it is a commercial. And this is kind of a commercial. Earlier this morning, an ED spot caught Gio's eye, and it reminded me of one that they are playing a lot during baseball and football games, and we discussed it.
They've got boner lozenges
now? Oh, yeah. Put it under your tongue. Dissolves, and it's got Sildenafil, and what's the other one? Mm. It's a combination of the two in the commercials because they play it every break.
Wow.
And it's supposedly the best combination of the two. Dissolves under your tongue. Bang.
I mean, there's going to be like a nose spray next.
Actually, that is coming out soon because that's the quickest way to get it into your system.
What?
I definitely heard that.
That was why they're saying that vaccines are more effective with the nose spray vaccine as opposed to taking the shot in the arm.
I mean, that's not exactly like a great way to romance. So hold on, honey. Shooting this thing up your schnoz. No, you're going to have to do that in the bathroom and then come back out.
And whatever, yes.
And what I was talking about is this Rose Sparks. That's the commercial that's on FS1.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's got Sildenafil, I'm not saying it right, and Tadalafil, dissolvable lozenges.
Okay. Lozenge. A little boner lozenge.
Yep. Your next...
Right.
Okay. If you told me there was a guy walking around that had a penis for a nose, I wouldn't be stunned anymore. Just nothing would surprise me.
You'd be like, yeah, I could see that happening.
Like this April Fool's, I'm going to slip some of those boner lozenges into Boomer's Buckley's bag.
I don't know what's going on here. You get me a cup of coffee against them.
All right. We had to have a couple laughs after that decision. Dexter last night?
Yes, we did. Yes. Moment of the day.
All right. What is the over-under on when one of the salespeople comes to us with the boner cream? I think they're outside right now. I'm going to give this a shot.
Well, you got a few. You got the mince, the cream, and the lozenge.
Oh, yeah.
Or the spray.
100%. They're milling around that Bangladesh call center right now. Like a chicken coop. Feathers are flying. I think they'll do it. I think they'll do it. All right.
They'll do anything.
Let's do them all. Let's do the lozenges.
There's a gum, too.
The cream.
So then there's five of them. There's five of us.
Yeah, perfect. We'll just do them all at once. See which one works best. What do you think about that, Stephen Walter?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I just saw that former Nick, now with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Isaiah Hartenstein, broke his hand and is going to be reevaluated in 5 to 6 weeks. So I feel bad for him, but I mean, that feels like something that would have happened to the Knicks years ago. And
it also
the tide
feels
is turning, you know?
Also feels like the Knicks just dodged a bullet.
Yeah, right. Oof. I don't want Isaiah Hartenstein to be hurt, but I just am glad that he didn't get hurt as a Nick.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about locker room dynamics and things of that nature, and then you hear or you see what Dante DiVincenzo did in their preseason game against the Knicks and how intense it got late in that game and how it seems like Jalen Brunson's dad has got a lot of pull within the Knicks organization now. And here's the thing about Jalen. Jalen is such a team player. And, you know, and I think when they looked at the big picture of things and trying to figure out the Knicks roster, they knew that they had to have somebody that they could have a great pick and roll kind of setup with Jalen Brunson and how much he handles the ball. And that's exactly what Karl Anthony Towns gives the Knicks. Gives them that high pick and roll where now all of a sudden you got a guy that can drop a three from running that play, which they're going to run a lot this year.
Yeah, I think the perception of the Knicks has changed with the addition of Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, I think everybody's like, man, look at this hard-working, lunch-pail group of guys. You know, no real superstar, even though Brunson has turned into that. But and then Karl-Anthony Towns comes in, who's a big name, but also in league circles, they believe he's not as tough as some of the other players. Now he comes in, and it's sort of like, oh, well, screw these guys. A guy like Dante DiVincenzo yelling at the bench because he's, you know, was pissed off that he was traded. And it just... not in the same level of Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, but like when you're a lovable group and then you add that big piece, like sometimes everybody's like, all right, now we have to hate them.
And well, you're also losing parts of those that lovable group from last year, significant
parts.
And
it's always going to be lovable for us, but I think that other NBA fans that didn't hate the Knicks franchise would look at that team and like respect that team and like the what they were doing. They played defense. You know, they were just
Me that Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, and Josh Hart are not going to play defense. All three of them are going to play defense.
I didn't say that.
I know, but whatever the perceptions are out there.
The perception is now that they got their superstar and Karl-Anthony Towns is soft. That's a perception.
All right, well, they're not going to be soft. I don't care what the perception is going to be.
I don't know, Pat Beverly, man.
Whatever Pat Bev said about...
Pat Bev.
About Cat, whatever he said,
Cat's bogus, man.
Yeah, okay.
Cat, well, bogus.
Mikhail's not bogus.
That's what
Josh
he said.
Josh Hart's not bogus.
Man.
OG's not bogus.
He said you can't even get your get back now. That's
okay.
That's what he said. Because I said Draymond just choked a center, and you didn't do nothing about it.
I know one thing. Precious Achiuwa ain't bogus.
No, he's not. Mid.
Come on, man.
Yeah, he ain't bogus. He's definitely the opposite of bogus, Precious Achiuwa, who has now been synonymous with our program.
Yes.
Which I kind of love. I actually really enjoy that.
I do, too.
Mark's in Huntington. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Great, right. Mark. What's up?
Good. I just want to talk a little bit about Mr. Rogers. I think back to when Peyton Manning went to Denver. They said from the moment he walked in that building, he was in charge. You know, he's a demanding guy, but he made everybody better. Tom Brady goes to Tampa. Same kind of thing. Walks in the building. He's clearly in charge. You know, crazy lunatic screaming on the sideline, but he made everybody better. Rodgers comes to New York, what faux intellectual, monotone, passive aggressive weirdo vibe, and he hasn't made anybody better. So I'd love to hear your take.
So far, you're accurate with that.
First of all, he got hurt, so that kind of just threw everybody off the
rails.
But
so far this year, like...
Yeah,
so
but I'm just saying, like, when he first got here, I mean, the initial thought process was that he was going to bring to the Jets what those two players brought to their previous teams. And it hasn't worked out just simply because he hasn't been on the field enough. Those guys had, you know, took their teams to Super Bowls.
And Brady got off to not a great start with the Bucs. I feel like they were 5-5 or something. I mean, they were just sort of scuffling. And then they got it together. So
that's what the Jets are hoping, that they're going to get it together eventually. Even the great ones are going to struggle initially. And, you know, I remember Peyton Manning, I think it was his second year out there. I did a Thursday night opening game, and he threw 7 touchdown passes. I mean, it was remarkable.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, he finally got into, like, understanding the entire organization, the team and everything else. Same thing with Tom Brady. And I think the same thing would have happened for Aaron Rodgers last year had he not gotten hurt. But so all of that gets thrown into the mix here, and the fact that he has only played 6 games with this team. And it's unfortunate that that press conference had to happen. And then right after that press conference, all of a sudden, Davante Adams is finally traded for. It wasn't like that just happened in the moment. That was being worked on for months, I believe. And then on top of it, Mike Williams looks like he's the odd man out now. And he misses practice yesterday.
You ever live with one of your wide receivers?
No.
For any amount of time? Offensive lineman?
No.
Because Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are living together right now.
Well, Aaron's got a big house over there.
No, I know. That he didn't want to talk about that day that we were there at Florham Park 2 years ago, not this year, last year.
I don't blame him. I mean, like, Dak Prescott just blew his house up.
All I asked was, did it come furnished? That's all. So I'm not going to talk about my home.
Well, he was in a bad mood.
No, I know. I know. How about Rob Saleh, by the way, gets caught by TMZ coming out of a Whole Foods?
I mean, what's he supposed to do, stop eating?
I mean, I don't understand. Like, but think about the guy who was, like, of all the celebrity assignments you could get. Like, they sent some kid to the Whole Foods somewhere in New Jersey to say, wait for Rob Salo to come out with a shopping cart?
I thought somebody actually had taken a picture and put it on.
No. They're following him and asking him questions.
Oh.
Right from the when he comes out of the door to his car. And TMZ posted it. It's like, do you think the Lebanese flag had anything to do with your firing? Do you think you're going to be coaching next year? You know, all this stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, come on.
We just let the guy live. Gotta live, damn it. Let him live.
Like, do they really think that Rob Salo was going to say anything interesting in that situation? I mean, serious. And by the way,
I mean, it's kind of interesting. It goes from coaching a team to shopping for the family.
It's really not that interesting. But I wonder, does that guy who was catching him outside of Whole Foods, did he go to his house, follow him to Whole Foods, wait for him to come out? Did he get a tip that Rob Salo is shops at this particular place? Like, how far do people go to get that, the 15 seconds of him not answering a question and getting into his car? Like, it's just amazing to me. Now, Rob Salo, of all people, poor Rob Salo.
He just got fired, man.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
It's bad enough you're fired. I guess they're just waiting for him to tear into somebody.
He won't.
That's what, you know, and he's not going to do that. That's not who he is.
He won't. We know he's a Muslim. We know he had the thing on his shirt. We know this. We know he shops at Whole Foods. Okay? So if you need to know where he is, I have his number. We text back and forth. He hated Zach Wilson. He probably hates the owner. I don't know that for sure, but I got in trouble for this last year. But he probably hates the owner. Just my guess, bro. And you know all of that. So you tell me then. You tell me.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.